Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you this Thursday morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining me this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I just want to encourage you this morning and welcome all of our new audience members that are sitting in the virtual stadium to be encouraged there this morning. I'm looking at names from all around the United States. This is so. I also want to welcome, Lola. Lola, we are so. It just blessed my heart. This morning, Lord just laid you on my heart. I just want to say hello to you and give your husband a big hug for me. It's exciting to see what God is doing in your life right there. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. It's just so cool how God's just continuing to have us all hang out with him, with each other, to glorify his name, to bring his light so we can be the light of the world. We'll get a shout out also to Samuel. Welcome to the audience. Ellen, welcome to the audience. William, welcome to the audience of VFN Radio. And Debbie, Evelyn, we're so glad to have you joining us. We'll give a shout out this morning to Barbara in Texas. Good morning, Barbara. Give a shout out to all those 200 plus students. You're amazing, woman. You are amazing. What a gift you are. Give a shout out this morning also to James and Chevron, the man who the Lord continues to promote and show himself mighty. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we are on Thursday morning. My goodness. And it's just so helpful to be live, you know, about what's happening on a daily basis. You know, so many things are happening so quickly. You know, we're able to come to you and give you perspective about, you know, God, seeking God's perspective of, you know, what's taking place right now. You need, I mean, it's so cool that we're not alone. We can do this thing with God by being in communication with each other, by sharing testimonies, by just, you know, you're busy. You're doing what you got to do what you have to be able to take care of your family and do what God's called you to do. And we need each other. And it's the place of the command of blessing for us to hang out together. And here we are in this virtual stadium. Imagine the stadium full of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, you think about it. Just one of our broadcasts, one of over 78,000, over 78,000 plus people. Maybe it's over 100,000 now. Of just that one broadcast had an audience to be able to listen to a prophetic word about the future. And God lets us know what's up.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I mean, he lets his people at large know what's up. And he wants to, as a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, listen, his whole desire is for you guys to hang out, you and him, to hang out so he can make his heart known to you. He can tell you the secrets of his heart. And it's not, you know, we talk about eating another man's groceries. And by the way, that t-shirt is up on the torch now so you can see it.
Up.
We're not going to tell you who the model is, but somebody modeled the shirt, and it is up for you to be able to take a look at it. And we just thank Peter for that. And like I said, you can see right there, go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and you can see it's just right there, probably the top, one of the top five articles on there. And take a look. Maybe you want one. Let us know, and we'll let Peter know, It's just really cool. Maybe they may get me touch your heart and say, you know what? That's what I'm going to do myself. I'm going to do that in my own city myself. I can see, you know, doing some shirts or some bumper stickers or something of that nature. And here you are just, you know, us together. You know, if you have difficulty leading people to God, lead them to VFN Radio. And together, we'll lead them to God. We'll lead them to an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's partner for the kingdom so that we can be fruitful and faithful in our generation. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what's up, John? What's going on, Mr. Man?
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness. Last night I had a chance to take a little brief stroll with my dog and my son. We had a chance to walk the neighborhood a little bit and get some fresh air. And I ran into an encouraging friend. It was so awesome. I ran into a Pastor Raul, who was actually going out for a prayer walk.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And we ran into each other and was just catching up. He was out of town and we were just talking. And oh my God, it was just so encouraging because he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to listen to the radio and he missed a couple of days. And so I just started sharing with him. Before you knew it, he pulled out his iPad. And right there on his iPad, right there, we were getting the VFN radio app. We went to VFNTV.com. I went to the app and searched VFN TV. And there it was, the app. We also went to the
And that's
VFN
so cool.
Torch.
No matter where you are in the world, you can sit in the audience and enjoy VFN radio and VFN TV. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. So he had access to it, and we were going through the torch together, and he was just amazed at all the encouraging words, what God was saying. And he said, as soon as I leave you, I'm going to start listening. I'm going to listen to all of these segments. So it was very, very encouraging.
And that is cool because, you know, if you're bringing somebody in quite often, you know, historically, you know, you had to wait 2 years before you could hear something again, you know.
Yeah.
But now with today's technology, and we're making available to every one of our listeners,
mm-hmm.
even the listeners that are going to be coming in the next 6 months, mm-hmm. 10 years. I mean, they're going to be able to hear everything that we've heard.
Right.
And now Pastor Roy is going to be able to listen to, Earl's going to be able to listen to everything
yeah.
and have it. And he's going to be encouraged.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
It's very
you know what
cool,
I'm saying? Because
cool.
that's so, I mean, you know, if you give a prophet a glass of water, you receive a prophet's reward. And if you encourage one, you know what I'm saying? That's what we want to do. We want to encourage you. Listen, we are not in competition with our brothers and sisters. We actually want to fuel your fire.
That's right.
We want to set you like a firebrand in your harvest field. To do the will of the Father. That spirit of competition is about to be broken over the body of Christ. That religious
Amen.
Spirit that's clamped you down and caused you to be intimidated in your harvest field, that's going in Jesus' name. Listen, you've got to answer alone before God. No witnesses, no suspects for your call, what he's entrusted to you. And we want to help you. We want to help you and encourage you. And not only encourage you, but encourage those who are entrusted to you. Because
That's
they
right.
can listen as well and partner with and be connected to VFN Radio, VFN TV on a daily basis. I'm at Facebook and Twitter and the application and the torch. I mean, every way you look, it's like a peripheral encouragement, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you come back together with those that are entrusted to you, their hearts are soft, you know, and they're hearing from God. And so when they come and you minister to them, they're going to be going, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of showing up maybe once a week and going, I'm dying, help me, oh my goodness,
right.
I've fallen and I can't get up. Because all week long, they heard something other than encouragement. They heard something other. Or maybe they went to Christian radio and all they heard was music, you know. And it's
right.
like, and music's cool. We love worship. And we have a whole phase of that's going to be opening up in a whole other aspect of what we're doing. But you got to hear the spoken word. You've got to hear, and you got to hear it in the way that you can hear it. You know, you gotta,
that's right.
You know, give me the real stuff. I'm dealing with real stuff every day.
That's right.
So help me deal with this real stuff right here, because the stuff that they're saying. I mean, there's people that is telling their congregations or people entrusted to them, go out and stand on the side of the street and point at somebody riding in a car that you won't and say, "You're driving my car," and these guys need to know. They need to hear something like, what the heck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came from, but that's
right.
their car. That's not your car. You know, and
assume everybody knows. That's the thing. We can't assume everybody knows what God is saying or what's happening. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised. You even listen to VFN Radio for a lot, so you kind of got this word inside of you. But there's a lot of people that don't know. They don't have a God perspective on what is happening in the world today. They're just looking sometimes at the news. So the fact that you can share VFN Radio and bring that encouragement to them is so exciting.
It really is. Also, want to give a shout out this morning to Debbie. Give a big shout out, Debbie, to your law firm right there. And also want to give a shout out this morning to Toys R Us, Sophia. My goodness, you are so ministering all over the place. And Maria, y'all rocking that place for Jesus. It's so cool to see what kind of light you guys are there, and what kind of encouragement. And believe me, things that are coming, you're just going to get brighter and brighter. Just stay in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be brighter and brighter as things tend to dim a little bit, you know, and just hold on. You know, one of the key factors is somebody says, what do you do when times get really rough? And it's just like, remain faithful. Because
yeah.
when there seems to be some sort of, you know, counterfeit lights and dimming lights, you know, your light doesn't seem that significant. You know, for example, when I was in law enforcement, we would come up at nighttime on a crime scene, and it's nighttime, so we have our flashlight on.
Mm-hmm.
And that flashlight's so important because you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you turn your flashlight on. Remind me to tell the story about that house and the peanut butter and the roach. We won't do it now. And so you're shining your light, and it makes sense. Your light makes sense at that point. You know what I'm saying? It just seems, because it's dark and you can't see. And plus you want to see the crime scene and make sure that you're not part of the crime scene. If you got to see what's going on, you know, somebody could take you down. But then the identification officer who comes out and does the crime scene, it's not like the movie. I mean, every you thumb the channels and it's like I seen more crime on television than I saw 10 years in law enforcement.
I'm telling you, CSI everywhere.
Yeah, I know. You know, I used to watch those kind of things when I was in law enforcement and thinking, oh, stupid, because you know, they don't look behind doors, they don't check closets, people have their hands in their pockets. You know, you're thinking all these safety things you learn, and then finally I got over that. But the so then the crime scene identification officer would come up, and he has this huge camera with this massive flash on it. And and he would, you know, obviously document the crime scene. So mm-hmm. you're standing there pointing your flashlight at whatever is going on, and it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
But then his light, when he shines his flashlight, mm-hmm. you look like a fool standing there in the daytime with a stick, because it doesn't even look like a flashlight anymore. Because his light was so bright, things that seemed relevant at the time that you seemed like you really needed
mm-hmm.
totally just became irrelevant because his light was so bright. You could see everything
mm-hmm.
with his. Isn't that neat how that works?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why? If somebody doesn't understand that, you can look at all these crime scene photos and you start saying, why are all these police officers carrying their flashlight at daytime, in the daytime. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, it wasn't day, it was night. But once a greater light showed up,
mm-hmm.
it just seemed like it was day.
Mm.
Wow.
And so just staying who you are and staying faithful in your abiding relationship, staying rightly related with God, you're just going to get brighter. You're just going to be more significant as these false dimming lights begin to just dim out more and more and more. And so I just want to encourage you about that. Just keep, you know, we're called to be the light of the world. You know, a lot of people are looking for somebody else to kind of light up. You know, what's going to happen in my workplace? What's going to happen in my community? What's going to happen in my nation? It's like, that's us. We're supposed to be the light of the world, you know. And that happens when we let Jesus shine through us. And another perspective I want to share with you this morning when we come right back. But I'm telling you, you've got so many things going on. And there's so many religious things going on. And, mm-hmm. and religious things are going to crank up. They're not going to go away. But our relationship with God won't go away either. And so we have to begin to decipher that. Everybody who uses the name Jesus doesn't know him. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody who says that they have a relationship with God, the question you have to ask him is, what God is that? And everybody that prophesies, you know, you have to know this. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We'll be right back. You know, I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get people together. And two men one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. I want to be able to talk about perspective. You know, we're looking, you know, just beginning to see, hey, you know what? You know, there's so many things going on right now. We're looking at, you know, embassies, American embassies that are being attacked and you know, people who say that they're Christians promoting a film that somebody else did that comes against their prophet, Muhammad, mm-hmm. and they're being insulted by that. And at the same time, we're seeing things like, you know, Americans have their political campaigns where we have Russian ships in the background. We have God being removed from our platform, and we have, you know, Israel being removed from the right perspective, Jerusalem, and mm-hmm. Hamas being denied who they really, I mean, just all these things are going on. And, you know, seeking perspective is very, very important. And first of all, you know, we want to say, you know, our hearts go out to the ambassador in Libya and the coworkers who were killed in the mob that took place. You know, he gave his life for this cause of trying to bring democracy there. And now, you know, a mob just killed him. And it seems like it was strategized, and it was something that was, you know, all planned out that would happen on 9/11. And you have, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the connectivity with, well, I don't know. It's all second heaven.
Right. Right now on the torch, we actually have a video of Christopher, Ambassador Christopher Stevens, speaking about his life and getting ready to go out there to Libya and represent. So it's a wonderful to look at and just see that this was a patriot. This is an American citizen who took his job seriously. And you'll get a chance to look at that right now on the torch.
Yeah. The, you know, with that, you know, here he was, you know, trying to bring democracy to a land of people who was fighting for it. And every community has people that are like factions and, you know, especially when you're transitioning from what you were to what you are. Mm-hmm. And we can't lump everybody in together and saying, you know, everybody, you know, is like these ones who did this. But at the same time, you got to say that's a significant number of people, you know, in your community that is against what we stand for, and democracy, you know, well, a republic, you know, like of our form of government is about one of our values is freedom of speech. And that's used sometimes for great things. I wish it would be used more for the gospel, you know, so few Christians are really using that right now for the gospel. But also people can say other things that are just, you can't believe that they're saying what they're saying. And for cultures that are tyrannical or theocratic, you know, that they're ran by, they control everything. I mean, it's a shock to a people to find somebody. I mean, if it shocks us in a free environment, you know it shocks somebody who all they heard was happy news, like in China, you know, all they heard was happy news forever. Next thing you have this stuff being said and somebody speaking out against, you know, your mindsets towards your profit. And there was a video that was done in California that has, there's a lot of videos done in California that has insulted God and insulted Jesus. I mean, it's like they cannot even have a movie, it seems like, without trying to cuss God's name, curse God's name, or to belittle Jesus and the Son of God. And it looks like they produced something about Muhammad, you know, and they put it on YouTube and it went out. And I don't know, I heard a title of it, they said it was on YouTube, and I glanced at something. And I quickly, what I saw, I thought, well, that, you know, that's horrific what I saw. I mean, it was just a piece of it. And I just, if it was it, it was just horrific, you know, against anybody. And of course, that's Hollywood. So you're not going to expect, you can't expect Christian, non-Christians to act like Christians. But then when you have somebody who calls himself a Christian pastor who's promoting that, you know, and this is what Christian means. It means Christ follower. You know, what... a Muslim means, it means a Mormon follower. I'm not a Mormon follower. A Muslim means, a Muslim means they're followers of Muhammad in the Quran. And what Mormon means, they're a follower of Mormon, the angel, the book, the Bible. That's what they're following, their prophet. That's who sits on all the Mormon steeples. That's Joseph on the top, you know, with a horn, no matter what. That's their following, you know. In America, you can do that. And so, I mean, we're really stirring stuff up. If, you know, in America, we can talk about these things and, and reason. And our desire, of course, our audience, if you read what we're about, and you go to VFNTV.com and read what we're about, or just look at your app and you can see, we feel that we are called to the church, which are believers, not buildings or organizations, you know, people who profess to be followers, Christ followers, you know, Christians. In addition to that, those that have been led astray, those that were once walking with God, but for whatever reason, you know, that they have wandered away from the flock, to encourage you and to hopefully bring you back into the fold. And the other is to those who don't know God, but they're being drawn to God. I mean, we are not talking, our broadcast is not trying to, we're not trying to tell the world what to do. We're not political. And not for the fact that we're ministry, we're not political. I just don't think there's any hope in politics.
That's right.
You know, Jesus was uninvolved in all of that, you know, because understand, it was not a democracy. It was not a republic. You know, it was a Roman government who put, you know, Pontius Pilate in place. And Jesus was saying, there's no authority given you except what's given you from above.
That's
you
right.
Know? And that, you know, he just wasn't concerned about the things that it seems like the American church, not Americans, but the American church has got so involved in. And it's like, it's not that we shouldn't be involved in, you know, be Josiahs that we talk about, but we should not leave our following Christ's ways. And we're known by our love. We share truth, and you can share the truth, and the truth divides. But you can do things that divide because you're divisive. I like what L.A. Joyner, my brother, says. And the Lord, he said, he had a prophet come to his church, and the prophet was just really harsh on the people. And when he finished, he said, well, you know, I'm just a prophet. And L.A. goes, no, you're just mean, you know. And there's a big difference. You know, people wield their gift and they're evil, they're mean with it. And it's like... And the perspective that you know, we need to get is that, man, I was invited to a radio station, and I was talking on the radio station, and I took a picture. You know how you can take a picture of yourself with your phone, you know, somehow like that. And you know, you take a picture of yourself, but you don't realize, you know, there's going to be stuff in the background too when you take a picture. And I looked at the picture afterwards, you know, when I left there. And, you know, they say they're a Christian radio station or whatever. And they had this defaming picture. I was shocked. I was just shocked of our president on the wall. I'm thinking, like, what are you doing? Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'm, like, deleting this thing from my phone. I'm thinking, you're a Christian radio station? Mm. And American at that. Mm. You know? I mean, either way, I mean, I was like, I just felt dirty in this. I'm like, what are you? And we should, sure. When you're around Chris, you should feel not, you should, you know, if you're getting, well, you know, it's gone wrong. It's gone mm-hmm. really wrong. You know, like when George Barner just did the statistical study that only 3% of the church is even concerned about the condition of their heart. That means 97% are following the ways of the world through manipulation and control and mm-hmm. being political and all that kind of stuff. Listen, it is not okay to defame our president. It's not okay to defame your boss. It's not okay to talk behind our president's back. It's not okay to, you know, it's in America, we have a choice. We can make choices and you can express your viewpoints in what you're doing. And as Christians, and if you're hearing from God and you need to prophesy, you got to do exactly what God's telling you to do, but you don't, you're the perspective of that is not, you're not malice when you're doing it. Now, you may be, you know, Jeremiah was considered malice when he did it, only because the people didn't want to listen to God, but he wasn't malice. He was broken out of the condition of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Jesus was not malice when he did it, but they called him Satan, and they nailed him to a cross. I'm not saying that contention won't happen and division won't happen.
Sure.
But if you're a jerk,
right?
If you're a jerk, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you're using Jesus' name in a way that's divisive, and you're just stirring up dissension and division. Mm-hmm. God hates that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He does not only hate these other things that the church quite often talks about, but he hates liars, you know? He hates those who stir up dissension amongst the brethren. You know, he hates those things. And in Ephesians 6, he says, submit to your slaves. Your masters. Mm-hmm. As unto the Lord. So if your union that you're in, you know, is doing something that's contrary to that, before God, you're going to have to walk rightly before God and say, listen, I cannot do this against my employer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they call that a right to work state, mm-hmm. where you can either choose to be in the union or not choose to be in the union. And you can't play both sides of that, you know, and we have to begin to honor. I mean, when I was looking, you know, just recently, you know, I had a chance to give a big shout out to Kevin down in Lakeland this morning. But I had a chance to be a part and be there with Kevin and with his father's funeral in Cottondale.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a prisoner of war in Korea. And they were having a funeral. The military came in to have a military funeral. And it was just, he was so honored. It was just, it was so honoring, you know, and it was so right because mm-hmm. that's Kevin's heart, you know, as well. But it's just, it just honors missing, you know, when you show up at work, you know, even if you have differences from your president, you know, we can honor him.
Sure.
We can talk about it. I mean, the president himself has no problem watch his life. He has no problem talking about, you know, counter viewpoints and that type of thing. But you can do that in a way of honor and not be in dishonoring,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, even if you differ in a major way, but as a Christian, you know, this pastor that's, you know, grabbed this Hollywood femme, you know, and he's also probably he's the one that tried to burn the Quran at one time.
Mm. Right.
You know, it's like you're just stirring up dissension. That's not what we're supposed to do. And defaming our president. I'm seeing posts on Facebook that talks in a way about our president. It's like, dude, why would you do that? Why would you say, you know, just if you have a difference of opinion, express your opinion, but honor the authority, because Romans 13:1-5 lets us know there's no authority established except which God has established, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God's established. We have to get the right perspective here, because
absolutely.
At some point, let me tell you something, at some point, if the church does not repent, you know, God will put the church under tyrannical leadership, and that will be his servant.
Mm-hmm.
That will be his servant, that this did not happen by mistake. This is not what's happening right now in America. Is not like, oh, we just didn't pay attention and this is going. No, God, God, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God,
right.
you know, over Babylon. And so if you mess with Nebuchadnezzar, you're messing with God.
That's right.
You know, if you mess with Josiah's son, you know, King Josiah's son, one of some was Jehoiakim, that means set man, God's set man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, oh, you know, I got a bad supervisor and you're running your mouth about your supervisor, it's like, do you really think that God did not put that person in your life to expose in your heart some things you need to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there's a lot of prophecy that comes over VFN TV, VFN radio, and we share these things, but our intentions and our perspective is not malice.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, some of the things that God's revealing to us, and we want to, we believe that the evil things are not of God. Therefore, if we see bad things, he reveals to us that bad things are happening, we pray against that and ask God to intervene, because why would he share it with us?
Right.
He's not sharing things with us in a dream or in a prophecy or, you know, a prophetic word or word of knowledge, just so that we can know something.
Sure.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? He's looking for somebody who will stand in the gap and intercede, so this doesn't have to happen. He looks and looks mm-hmm. for a man to stand in the gap so he won't have to destroy the land. And so when we're sharing what we're sharing, you know, and you'll listen, if you listen to the tone of it is, listen, the world is not our problem. The church is the world's problem.
Mm-hmm.
This present, whoever, your boss, your leader, your political leaders, I mean, they're not the church's problem. The church is their problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who don't know God in America, who say, I don't want to know God, they're not America's problem. America's problem is the church, because mm-hmm. he says, and this is our angle, and this is very important, because you're going to find, you know, the enemy want to clamp down and just put everybody in the same category. And that is not our viewpoint. Our viewpoint is God's viewpoint, where he says, when I send tyrannical leaders, you know, mm-hmm. when I send a plague amongst my people, when I send famine and your crops die out, and, you know, in other words, I send the storm and I fashion a storm against you, he says, if my people, what does that mean? All these people that the church are blaming right now and calling mm-hmm. conspiracy, mm-hmm. you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and this is humility. Humility is defined as this. It's total dependency on God and respect for other people. And it's the opposite of pride.
Mm-hmm.
So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their, that means our, wicked ways.
Mm.
Then the creator of the universe, who controls everything and holds everything together and even sets tyrannical leaders in place, he says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land.
Mm-hmm.
I'll heal your land.
Yeah.
And so the arrogance of the church to think if you burn a Quran, if you make their prophets look bad,
mm-hmm.
if you really think that's the answer, you've totally missed the wrong. He's like, it's not. That's not the answer.
You're missing it.
The answer is your sin, sir,
mm-hmm.
Christian. The answer is you humbling yourself, getting the pride out of our lives, turning from our wicked ways, and then the world just benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we talked about yesterday that the world's population, you know, 6.3 billion people, and you look at America's 313 million people, yeah, 313 million people approximately, then we're like, what, 5.2% of the world's population.
Mm.
Well, you know, and then you can go one way with that, and you could say, who do we think we are using all these resources? And we should just be able, and we're going the carnal argument about the whole thing, and just say, and your heart can be broken when you see what we're doing with the resources,
mm-hmm.
you know, and gosh, it's really been touching my heart about that a lot lately. But the other thing is, I'll tell you who you are, America. You're a nation that's been blessed by God, and you just shook your fist in the face of the one who blessed you. Yeah. And the reason why 5.2% of the world stood out and delivered more food and more help and more freedom and more, why people are trying to bust through your borders to be able to come in and start businesses and all that kind of stuff is because the blessing of God's been on you. Just like the little small nation called Israel, the little small country of 5.2% of the population of America, the thing that set us apart, the reason why we had and hopefully will have so many resources is because God's hand was on us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And is on us. That's why.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh, well, Israel needs to give up everything. No, they don't need to give up. They just need to acknowledge that God's hand's on them. Mm-hmm. And we need to acknowledge that God's hand's on America.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That just magnifies.
Very, very important.
When you think about the size of Israel and how small it is and how many adversaries Israel has, but yet how blessed they are. I mean, remember, even their almonds are huge. Their fruit is huge. Yeah. I mean, everything is blessed there. It's because God's blessing and God's blessing. God shed his grace on America. And I really believe that, you know, we're at a really crucial point right now that, you know, we can throw our hat in with the people who blame the world for the church's problem, which is it'll end in tyrannical rule and bondage and slavery, you know, in whatever form or fashion that you want to, you know, make of that. Or we can say, we're so sorry. We're so sorry for somebody making a movie like that. And in the name of being a Christ follower to send that out and stir so much hatred up in your nation like that. You know, it was totally irrelevant to our following Christ. That had nothing to do with that. And, and, but yet at the same time, you know, we preach the truth about the Quran and we preach the truth about the Bible, but you can, you don't have to, you can reason with people and say, you know, hey, you know, to the point like Pastor Youssef, you know, I'm not going to deny my faith, but hey, I can live amongst you. And that's the thing about Christians. Christians can live amongst a people no matter where they are. We're living amongst all kinds of forms of government all around the world. But understanding that, this perspective, we've got to get this perspective. This is you know, the things that we're seeing posted and things that are going on. You know, you can look at some of our stuff if you have the wrong thing in your heart and you can go, yeah. Or you can understand our perspective and your heart will be broken like our heart's broken and saying, listen, we need to pray that this doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, we need to see that we are the answer. The church is the answer. You know, Bill Hybels, you know, wrote a book about, you know, what he's doing and all. And you know, he says, you know, the church is the answer to the world. Something like that. And the truth is right now the church is repentance.
That's right.
Our humility is the answer to the marriage problem. I mean, you think about this. But listen, you know, 50% of the marriages in the church are ending in divorce. And the ones that are married, if you look at them, it's like the children are over the parents, the wife's over the husband, and they're only staying together because it makes a financial, it's a good financial merger, and somebody doesn't want to be alone or something. It's like, and then so you got these people trying to tell somebody else how to be married. And it's like, come on. You know, just because you found somebody of the opposite gender does not mean you succeeded in this. There's expectations of God as a Christian, how your marriage should be led. You know, and if you're in rebellion to the ways of God as the church, as a Christian, and how your marriage should be, and it's pretty rampant. I mean, you know, this ship's got a big turn. The ship, meaning the church in America, has a huge turn to take. You know, to but it can. I mean, when you start turning, well, have a big ship, like a big, if you're in like a big aircraft carrier, for example, which is like a city on the water. You know, you turn the big wheel of the ship, and then you hold it, and you hold it, and nothing happens. Nothing happens at all, and
takes a while.
Well, just you hold it and nothing's happening. And it looks like, oh, you know, we're going to hit something, you know. And so you got to start turning. It takes maybe a mile.
Really? Wow.
A mile to turn a carrier around when you're going out there. But, you know, you're in the ocean, so you got a few miles. And you got to be able to project, you know, where you want to turn, because it takes a while to turn that. And so when you're looking at a whole people that has to acknowledge and see where we are is wrong and begin to just systematically restructure ourselves, our marriages, mm-hmm. our personal relationships, the way we handle finances, the way we do a business, you know, the things that we've allowed in our hearts, homes, and lives. And it takes a while, but if you hold the will in that direction, if you hold the will in that direction, then eventually this ship will turn around. But if you give up, because you want instant gratification, you know, you think, what's the use of turning this thing? And it just like drives the country, you know, into the ground. And so I just want to, you know, the perspective I want to be able to share with you is, you know, we have another embassy under attack this morning, American embassy under attack in Yemen.
Ooh.
You know, and this is very serious. This is very serious. This is what happened in 1979. Remember the Iranian hostages under President Carter's administration, and that, you know, they were held hostage.
Yeah,
you know, in there, and now, of course, you know, Iran is what it is today because of that mismanagement that was going on. Then the first thing that President Reagan did, the very first thing that he did and negotiated prior to even becoming president, was going in and rescuing, you know, the mm-hmm. The Iranian hostages there. And that's where Nightline was birthed. That program mm-hmm. was birthed during the hostage crisis.
Really?
Yeah, prior to that, it wasn't even a program mm-hmm. in America, but they just like day 78, day whatever. And,
mm-hmm. Well, think about it. 3 embassies attacked in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. And so we, our perspective is not, yeah, 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 you know. And when you see people stoning, you think, you know, you start saying, I can't believe these guys are stoning. Well, first of all, you know, Stephen was stoned, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Stephen was stoned. If you read your Bible, you understand stoning was actually a part of the way things were dealt with for those that were in rebellion prior to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior to Jesus coming, being born, you know, and walking a sinless life, and dying for our sins, that you know, it was stoning.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. that if you had a child that was in rebellion and wouldn't listen, then they would take the child out and they would stone the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you had somebody, you know, caught in adultery, like the woman caught in adultery, you know, and they didn't bring the man in there, but obviously she was with somebody.
Mm.
And she was sitting there and they brought her to Jesus' feet and they had stones in their hands. They had stones in their hands and they were going to stone him. Did Jesus say, what are you doing stoning people? You can't stone people. This is not right. No, you can't stone people. Don't stone people. Don't stone. He's like, mm-hmm. he didn't say squat about that.
Mm-mm.
This is what he said. He that's without sin, cast the first stone. And the older people drop their stones first. Because the longer you live, the more you mm-hmm. really understand that. Mm-hmm. And it was the younger ones that held onto their stones the longest. And he did not say, you know, stoning, where is this coming from? Why would you stone someone? Why? Because he was part of and is part of the Father's plan for his people. And there was a day prior to mercy and grace and the cross that part of God's remedy for sin, who people who refuse to deal with sin, they would stone you. I mean, granted, you know, there would be nobody on this radio program right now.
That's right.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I may have lived longer than Pat. He probably would have stoned a lot earlier. but you know, because, you know, it's the reason why we're here is because the grace of God.
That's right.
You know, I would have been stoned. Oh, well, different kind of stone. And so, understand, well, I was just looking at, anyway, so the... It's not so far-fetched when you have people who feel that their God is their God and their prophet's being insulted, that they're taking stones and they're saying this is blasphemy, because part of the law required somebody who blasphemed God to be stoned in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And this was God's plan. I mean, all during that time, when you read your Old Testament, I mean, every week, probably every month. I mean, you know, obviously when stonings start taking place, there's a lot less issues going on.
You know, that's right. Sure.
You know, at least publicly. And so the, but that's part of our heritage. That's part of what happened. So we can't say, hey, these guys are just lost it, you know, and they're stoning. What they're saying is our perception of God, who we say God is and who we say his prophet is, what you're doing, the way you did that movie, you are ridiculing who we say is our prophet and our God, and we're going to stone you. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just asking, you're pushing. I mean, granted, you know, the adversary is going to do all kinds of stuff to do things like that. But if you're trying to provoke people, if you're trying to be divisive, you know what I'm saying? And it's part of our heritage. Even in the New Testament, Stephen got stoned by people who said that they were followers of God. Mm-hmm. While he was looking at the face of Jesus, they stoned him as he was telling them about Jesus. And so, and the woman caught in adultery was brought to Jesus, and they were planning on stoning her. So when you say, I can't believe that, you know, Islam, when they catch people in adultery, that they take this woman out here and they stone her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When it's in your own heritage. That's when Jesus came along. That's mm-hmm. the whole point.
That's right.
That's why you don't want anybody to do away with your perspective of Jesus. You know? Because outside of him, before he was here on earth, that was the remedy. Mm-hmm. So what we see happening in the world right now, they're throwing, I'm looking at the video right now, they're stoning the Yemen American embassy. That was appropriate under the old covenant.
Mm.
We can't say, oh, that's crazy. Well, it's not, obviously, Muhammad's not the prophet, and Allah's not God,
mm-hmm.
and they're God, because Jesus is the Son of God, and they say in the Quran that Jesus is not the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the only way to have access to God.
Right.
And so, therefore, any other way is a thief and a robber. But what I'm saying is we can't look like turning our head like a dog that's confused at something. We understand this is how things were dealt with. And so understanding that, then you should, preaching Jesus and the love of Jesus and speaking the truth in love and reasoning with people and understanding that if we're going to offend somebody, you know, if we're going to intentionally offend them, they're not going to listen to us. They're not mm-hmm. going to listen to us. But there is a tension point that when you preach Jesus, you know, to somebody who is convinced that Jesus is not the Son of God, and like Pastor Youssef, you know, in Iran, and it wasn't that he was saying, hey, you know, I'm not saying, you know, whatever you're doing, you're doing.
Mm.
But me personally, I cannot deny Jesus. And they said, well, we don't. At some point, it was reported, they're saying, well, we're not telling you to deny Jesus. We just want you to accept Muhammad as a true prophet.
Well,
to accept Muhammad as a true prophet, which means he heard from God, and what he wrote down in the Quran mm-hmm. is God's word.
Right.
And in the Quran, you know, it says that Jesus is not the Son of God, and he'll have to come mm-hmm. back when the third Iman comes out and all that. And has to repent for calling himself the Son of God. And then Jesus will be the assistant of like the 30 month, something mm-hmm. of that nature. And so, and you can go right now to the VFN torch and compare and type in anything about Islam that it comes up. But the one you want to hear, the segment you want to hear, and you can see it also on your, hear it on your phone or your iPad or whatever, is, Christianity versus Islam, the Bible versus the Quran. That's not there to say some sort of competition. It's just like compare the two.
Comparison. Sure.
You know, it's like, do I want a Lexus or do I want a Chevrolet? Let's just, you know, Lexus versus Chevrolet. Let's compare the two right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two football teams. You know, let's the Saints versus the Detroit Lions, for example. Well, you're
not
saying
comparison, but.
Well, I don't know, but just, yeah. Think about it, that you're not saying anything but saying we just want to bring the two together and see which one, you know, is mm-hmm. gonna win. And so we cannot forego or be intimidated about speaking the truth, but we can't be naive and think by provoking people and doing things that just stir them up, because you have Paul standing right here in Greece, and he's talking to, they have all these gods, just all these gods everywhere. And all they did is sit around and talk about them all the time. Hmm. And they had one particular god, his name was the Unknown God.
Hmm.
So, you know, Paul didn't say, hey, you know, you got all these, this, you know, and just, well, he wasn't cantankerous, you know, and contentious and divisive. He just took that one false perception, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, I see you have one of your gods is called the Unknown God. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, let me tell you about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just began to go with that. Right now, since, you know, we are talking to the church needs to get educated on what is Islam? What is Mormonism? Mm-hmm. You know, what is Christianity? You know, these are things that are pretty relevant right now for us. And everybody who says God, you know, doesn't mean the same God.
That's right.
You know, and there is only one God, but they're definitely talking about their perception of God. And the reason why I say that is because we got to pay attention in the right perspective as we're coming to the end of the first hour here. Is that, you know, prophets are going to keep prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamers are going to keep dreaming. And preachers are going to keep preaching. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He said, but just because they're doing that doesn't mean they're right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, many people on the last days are going to come to me and say, you know, Lord, Lord, did we not? And they're going to talk about prophecies and, you know, dreams and every other ministry gifts. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You're an evildoer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Jeremiah 27 talks about that, don't even listen to the ones who are telling you something different, even though what I'm telling you is not going to be good for you. Mm-hmm. But if you'll listen to me, if you'll mm-hmm. listen to my discipline, you can survive through this. And we'll be talking more about that in the extra hour today. But to understand that we got to pay attention. Don't just try to grab some prophecy that makes you feel good, because they're going to keep, people are going to keep saying things, and it's just a shocker. I mean, who we all want to hear hopeful, you know, God's going to just forget all this stuff and we're going to move on. But there's going to be liars. There's going to be people that just keep saying that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, when God's saying something totally different. And we're going to talk more about that, trying to get perspective right here. But we totally disagree with what this minister did
mm-hmm.
In the name of ministry for the church to be able to provoke, you know, the Muslim people. Well, now we have, and they used it, obviously, but now we have four Americans that are dead,
mm-hmm.
and we have our Marines in harm's way. We have two warships going into the Mediterranean. When they say Libya, people go, oh, it's Libya next to Egypt, next to Israel. It's all right. The same thing. It's not some, it's, just, it's all right there. It's mm-hmm. the Mediterranean. In that, you know, we're in some pretty crucial times right now, but we have to have the right perspective, because, you know, this could be it. This could be a transition point, you know, for us, you know, that what God has been speaking to us about is that it looks like that God has put some set people in place to take America to a place that it didn't want to go, because the church didn't want to go where God wanted it to go.
Mm.
And so, but we'll just kind of ponder that some more and talk about some more. You know, we can join us in the extra hour. If you're not going to be able to join us in the extra hour, you can get that on the VFN TV app, or you can go to VFNTV.com. But also know this, yesterday, you know, we talked about, you caught God's eye. You need to put that on your, you can download it. When you go to our app, you can download. If you're listening to a highlight or a segment, it gives you the option to download it and put it in your playlist. And once a week, listen to that and say, Lord, I want this right perspective. I caught your eye. Well, God bless. Have a wonderful day. And those that are joining us for the extra hour, we'll see you in a few moments on the other side.